All right, it started a few years ago. Let's go back to 1775, October 13th, if you were just kind of hanging around. That is when 80-some men with some 10 guns and two armed vessels started what we got going on here today. It's Navy Week in Billings, Navy Week in Montana. That's where it started, you know, 80 original men. Now we've got 80 sailors rolling around the city here to honor the Navy. Also, the Blue Angels, of course. We talked about that on Friday with the air show. We are in studio today with, well, sailors who have come home. Chief Petty Officer Calvin Mossman, Petty Officer Second Class Amy Hubble. Calvin is from Billings West, or graduated Billings West High School, and Amy, a Columbus native. And keeping them in track here, U.S. Navy Officer of Community Outreach, Lieutenant Winslow Blow. We have got Navy Week here, not only in Billings and Montana, but on Voices of Montana. Okay, a full studio here today, we'll start off with Lieutenant Winslow Blow, who is with the Navy Outreach, Community Office of Community Outreach. So, good morning, Lieutenant. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having us.
There you are.
Here nice. I am.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. Chief Petty Officer Calvin Mossman, Billings West High School, with the U.S. Space Command. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Happy to be here.
Welcome home. Thank you for your service.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and thank you for, again, having us.
And Amy Hummel. Amy is the Petty Officer Second Class. Good morning, officer. Native of Columbus, Montana. And you serve on the USS Harry Truman.
Yes, good morning. I do.
How's that? What's that like?
It's interesting going from a town where I graduated with 48 people in my class to there's more than that in just my security section in a day. It's very interesting. So it's a small city on the carrier, yeah. But I love it.
Well, how many people are on a carrier?
When we're deployed, anywhere from like 5,000 people, but in the where we're at right now, we're sitting about 2,500.
Calvin, what about you? I mean, obviously growing up, you know, in Billings, Montana too, but the U.S. Space Command, did you ever dream?
Well, I can't say I started dreaming because Space Command was reborn in, yeah, just 7 years ago. So we celebrate our seventh birthday on August 28th, so next week. So I'll be back in this uniform next week for that. But it's a joint combatant command, which means we have all of the services. The Navy is actually one of the biggest components of U.S. Space Command. So even though the Space Force now exists, and an Air Force is kind of like the birthing service of the Space Force, but we have big Army community there, Space Force, Air Force, in the Navy. But it's great to be back in Mountain Standard Time because ever since I joined the Navy, it's been East Coast or overseas. So it's incredible to be back with the dry weather and be back to seeing mountains again because you know, I don't want to say you will get sick of seeing the sea in the horizon, but it's great to see mountains too.
Are you feeling yourself again? Are you feeling a little bit back home here?
Absolutely. And I just got to Colorado in April. So since April, I felt like I've been back in Montana. It's not Montana. So it's great to be here. It's great to, you know, see Airport Road again, and you can get to anywhere you want to go. You want to get food, you know, hit that Zimmerman Trail, go down to Shiloh. It's great to see the great people of Montana and family.
Lieutenant Winslow Blow, this has got to be kind of a treat for you, right? To be here and then to have sailors who are representing the Navy, but also, you know, the U.S., to bring them home again and watch the faces and the reactions.
Absolutely. This is one of the greatest honors of my career is to be able to plan these Navy Weeks across the U.S. and then just seeing how much it means to the community and how much it means to the sailors to be able to come back home and tell people what they've been doing overseas, serving on a ship or wherever it might be, all across the globe, and then just connecting with their family again and connecting with the community. It's very rewarding.
Okay, Amy, have you saw Mom?
Yes.
You've seen Mom already, right?
Absolutely, yes.
How's she doing?
Oh, she's great. Yeah. She's very excited that I'm home, yes.
That's cool. Is she listening?
I think so. Okay. I hope so.
Good. She could call in, too, as a matter of fact.
Her and my fiance and my stepson are on their way to Yellowstone right now.
Well, are you guys going? Going to make it?
I'm going to try.
All right. Got to go. How about you, Calvin? Mom, Dad?
Yeah, my dad met me at the airport yesterday. He wanted to go to dinner, but we were, I am here on work. I'm not here for pleasure. So I did get tagged to meet the Blue Angels last night, which made it a late night. But I look forward to reconnecting with them this week.
Yeah, that's really, it's cool that you guys are able to relate with family here too. Lieutenant Blow, what is Navy Week all about?
So Navy Week is a program that connects Americans with their Navy, and it started because we have a presence in a lot of different coastal areas, but not too much the middle of the country and a lot of areas that just don't get to see the Navy very often. So we've been doing this program for about 20 years where we send sailors home and we bring admirals and bands and ceremonial guard drill team and all different kinds of units, and we just do a big community outreach effort in these different American cities. And some big factors of that is our namesake ships. So USS Billings, unfortunately, couldn't be here because they're deployed in the Southern Command area of operations.
And there's no parking for a littoral ship, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like Elmo.
Yeah.
Maybe we can dry dock it after it's retired. I'm not sure. But we do have a USS Montana sailor who just completed his tour. And then we do have sailors from USS Helena. And then obviously our hometown sailors are a big factor in that. So Navy Weeks are just a huge, you know, outreach effort to try to inform and educate the public about what the Navy does for them.
Amy, do you get a lot of questions about what's your service like? Do you get and you're kind of, what, 5 years into it? You're not that far removed from Columbus High School, right?
Yes, August 10th was my 5 years in the Navy.
Congrats.
When I tell people I'm from Montana, I get asked about the TV show Yellowstone all the time. Or they're like, what's even out there?
Do you lead them on? Do you just kind of like lie to them and just lead them on? So
I have convinced people in the past that we have polar bears in Montana. So
good job. I like that. Yeah.
Well, she lives on a ranch and you saw bears yesterday, so it's not too far from the Yellowstone truth.
Yes, we went for a horseback ride yesterday and I looked at my son and I said, how cool would it be if we see a bear? And not 30 seconds later, a little black bear runs in front of us. So.
And how cool was it?
He was cute. It was a little yearling, so yeah. No okay. No cubs or anything, but
those encounters don't always work out cool, you know.
I personally don't want to be between a mom and cubs, so.
And Calvin, you know, kind of you're growing up. Talk about your, of course, you lived kind of all over. Went to a lot of schools in Montana as well, but kind of centered around Billings here. Talk about coming back home and then what people ask you about as the chief petty officer.
Yeah, so we get the Yellowstone thing all the time. I'm a big Kevin Costner fan, but I've never seen a single episode of Yellowstone because I don't think they could quite capture the true essence of Montana. But it's been an incredible journey. I originally joined for college, GI Bill, so I was going to do my 4 years and get out. I wanted to be a lawyer, so my recruiter said, hey, you want to become a yeoman, which is an administrator. So we take care of pay, personnel, service records, not only at the sailor level, but at the command level. And then for me, I'm called a flag rider. So I work at the executive level for generals and admirals. But everybody asks, what do you do? And the best way that I can do is show up here to Navy Billings Week and take place in these events. We got the ceremonial guard here. We're going to do YMCA events, some Habitat for Humanity. In our uniforms so that we can have that naval presence here in the Rocky Mountains. It's been a short 18 years. Like I said, I was going to get out after 4 years, and here I am, probably about to do six more. So we're just kind of looking forward to the journey. We thought maybe Colorado would be the last one and I could get closer to home, but we don't know where the Navy's going to take us next.
You have family, right?
I do.
How important is it that today's military and today's Navy embraces the family? It's a family here, and so your family automatically has a bigger family.
Yeah, absolutely. So my kids are, you know, born, one was born in Maryland, one was born in Lisbon, Portugal. So I didn't
how about that, right?
They didn't come in my sea bag, but they are part of my sea bag now, and they're moving around just as much as I did when I was growing up. And I come from kind of a broken family, so we my wife does too, so we're split all over the United States. So it's great to be kind of in the middle of where I'm at in Colorado. It's my wife's from Texas. The family in Texas is there. I got Montana here. I have some family in Nevada. So we're like centrally located. But really, it's a pleasure to serve so that my family doesn't have to. So I'm over there doing kind of the hard work protecting our country so that they can take the liberties that they have.
That's the question I always want to ask is, what was your call to public service? I'm gonna get to that a little bit, but we're talking family. Amy, you said you've got a son, and so talk about, you know, that relationship growing, you know, as a parent in the Navy.
So I haven't been in my stepson's life his whole life, but the last 2 years I've been able to embrace motherhood, and it's changed the Navy for me. I have something to go home to every day. Deployment, him and my fiance and my mom, they were my rocks. They made everything happen. They sent the care packages. My fiance flew out to Norway and Greece to see me, and that was rejuvenating, being able to, in the beginning of deployment and halfway through, see him and refuel so I can get back in the mission.
Winslow, see, this is a different aspect of Navy, right? We want our sailors and our soldiers to be what they're there for, right? National security. But who are they there for? I mean, that's an important question for the Navy or for anybody in military service.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people see headlines, but they don't understand that, you know, we're regular people too. And we are just trying to serve our country and serve our families and do the best that we can. And that's one thing that we really try to convey to people and try to, you know, get across while we're speaking with people in the community is like, we are just like you. We are, you know, the Billings natives. We are the Montana natives. I'm from Austin, Texas. And yeah, it's just a blessing to be able to tell people. And a lot of people don't know about the Navy. So it's really important. Like, a lot of people still think that Top Gun is the Air Force. And for our listeners, it is not. Top Gun is the Navy. And we are here to beat that drum and to, you know, tell people there's hundreds of careers options that you can go, whether or not you're actually serving as a military member or even you're supporting as a civilian on the industrial side or the, you know, civilian sector. So there's so many different ways to support your country and national defense. And we're really just here to get out here and tell people about it.
Do you have family?
I do. I have 3 kids.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 2-year-old.
Well, congratulations on that, right?
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. It's never a dull moment in my house.
Boy, there's a ton of events going on here, too. It's in Billings, so come on down. It's Navy Week. Of course, we talked last week. We had Cameron Smith and Isabel on, and they were sailors from the USS Montana. And they're here this week, and they're going to try to sneak away to Yellowstone, the Yellowstone National Park. And we're going to get into it here, too. So we'll talk about some of these events that you guys can take advantage of. But got a full host of sailors in studio starting off with Lieutenant Winslow Blow, Navy Office of Community Outreach. He's helped set up an awful lot of this. Chief Petty Officer Calvin Mossman, U.S. Space Command. We'll talk about these jobs here in a little bit, too, and the things that you do in the Navy. And then Amy Hubble, who's sharing cow stories here because she's grew up in Columbus, Montana, and graduated there as well and serves on the USS Harry S. Truman as a petty officer, master at arms. So let's get into some of these events here, too, and then we'll talk about the jobs that you guys are doing. But Lieutenant Below Winslow, like today, I noticed some projects. So you're going to get on the ground and actually start doing some things and getting out with the public here, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's all about working alongside our community members to help accomplish goals and to, like, we're working with the food bank to help pack some backpacks. We're working with Habitat for Humanity, putting up some siding, creating some housing. And we'll be on the ground, you know, talking to people at the air show, at Big Sky Bull Fest. We're just going to be everywhere and anywhere during the Navy Week.
How many sailors are here for Navy Week?
There's about 80 sailors here for the Navy Week, and then that's not counting the Blue Angels that bring their entire other division with them.
They're kind of a crew, aren't they? I mean, they're a big draw, right?
Absolutely. It's a very exclusive fraternity. They are very well-known, household name, and for a good reason. They are the greatest pilots in the world, hands down. You can see their documentary on Amazon, I believe recently came out, and you can just see the detail that their performances go into, and it's absolutely amazing. And I feel like sometimes in the Navy we take it for granted because we're constantly working with jet pilots, and we see the Blue Angels flying over, and it's just noise for us. But you know, it's absolutely amazing what they do, and it's awesome to be here with them.
Well, Calvin, you were stationed in Pensacola, I think, and saw a lot of the Blue Angels.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Yeah. I just left Pensacola on April 1st of this year. I got the opportunity to see the Blue Angels practice all the time and see their homecoming shows. And they are incredible pilots, like Lieutenant said. If you come out this weekend, see them. You don't even have to come out to the air show. You just look up in the sky. You're going to see them flying in formation. It's incredible how close this these aircraft are to each other and how skilled the pilots need to make, because any mistake could cost a life. And then just, so they're trained for safety. They're trained. They're the best pilots in the world.
What's in their heads? What are they like? I mean, what's that?
I say drummers.
Well, I can't speak to the Blue Angels specifically, but I've known some jet pilots and several pilots. I went through a flight school for a little bit myself. And, they're actually very relaxed people, but they have to study. They put in thousands and thousands of hours so that they can memorize formulas and pages and procedures and maps and all sorts of things. And but it's amazing what they're able to retain, and then it just becomes normal for them. It's like driving a car. And then they're actually very relaxed people once you get to know them.
Is that true, Calvin?
It's absolutely true. In fact, we saw the commanding officer of the Blue Angels at breakfast this morning. I went by, I said hi to him, I said, hey, I was in Pensacola with you not too long ago. And he was just like, oh, so great to see you again, Chief. That's so cool. Very relaxed.
That's very cool, right? Yeah. Amy, what do you do? What do you do in the Navy?
I am a master at arms, so I am military police for the Navy.
And she's wearing a badge.
Yes. Right?
And that is having an effect on me, by the way.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm being the best I can be.
You don't have any secrets to hide, do you?
Yes, no. But what's that job like?
On the aircraft carrier, we're in charge of safety and security for the whole ship. So we respond to fires, floods. I'm not fighting the fires or floods, but we want to make sure that everybody else is being safe and not entering those boundaries, so the people who are trained can come in and take care of them. On the land side, we do law enforcement, just like police officers out in town, but just for base. So we respond to traffic accidents, DUIs, domestics, things like that.
How deep does that go? And when you talk about security, is that every level of security on the ship, technology and all of that? Or what is the breadth of your job?
We do a lot of roving, making sure that secured spaces stay secured. If we see it open, we kind of peek in there and be like, did you just leave the door open or did somebody break in? We don't have access to the reactor. I don't want to go down there. It's too many stairs. but we don't really interact with the Admiral or anything. He's got his own security personnel on there. But we're just dealing with a lot of like the general sailors.
So what's your line? Like, what are you doing, sailor? Is that kind of
shipmate? Yeah, what are you doing?
What are you doing here? That's what it is. Yeah, yeah. Ever had to handcuff anybody?
I have, yes. Yeah. Most recently, we had a girl try to leave the ship on her duty day, and it's required that you keep a certain amount of personnel on board. So if an incident happens, we can fight the fire, fight the flood, save the ship. And this girl was like, "Yeah, I'm leaving." And so the officer of the deck was like, put her in handcuffs, and we were right there. I was the watch commander, so got to have one of my sailors put her in cuffs. And
solved that problem then, didn't it?
Yeah, just don't know. They don't always feel like being at work.
Yeah, I gotcha. Calvin, what's your job like? And then I know that in some of the information that the Navy shared, you're talking about your childhood upbringing, your job, so to speak, at Red Lobster here in Billings, right? And people go, I've eaten there. Well, did Calvin serve me one of these days or one of these past days? But you said that has led you into kind of where you're at right now.
Yeah, so it's funny that you brought that up. When I started at Red Lobster first, it was junior in high school. And so you start with like the grunt work, which is not washing dishes. I got out of that one. I got to a seat table, so I got an idea for time management, how fast tables are going to rotate, and then busing tables, so kind of like the work ethic and the speed required to turn those tables. And then when I turned 18, I was starting to serve tables, so I got into like the big customer service. In the Navy, I'm one of the oldest ratings, and it's called the yeoman, and they're like the ship's clerk, the administrators. So back in the 1700s, the ship would have a yeoman, not just in the United States Navy, but in the Navy in general, so maybe the British Navy. But they would always be the ship's right-hand man, and whenever the captain needed something, they would go to the yeoman, whether it was getting supplies or getting your manifest done. So that carries on today. So yeomen are administrators that take care of evaluations, records. I mentioned that I'm a flag rider, which is executive service yeoman. So I cater to... my first job as a flag writer was for Secretary of the Navy. from 2014 to 2016 or 2018. Then I went to Lisbon, Portugal to work at NATO, where I worked for a 2-star British Admiral and a 1-star Brigadier General for Marine Corps. I've worked for admirals that were doctors, aviators, and really just kind of taking care of them because, like Lieutenant Winslow said earlier, we are just people. People forget that our top officers in the Navy are also just normal people.
Yeah.
And they need somebody that they can trust to help manage their time because they need to be able to think, give orders, and carry out with the mission.
Winslow, talk about that. Talk about just ordinary people, so to speak, but they're doing extraordinary jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. So the extraordinary becomes normal in the military. So when you first join your job or you get to your ship, it's going to be extremely overwhelming. A lot of people describe it like drinking from a fire hose. But then the more you do it, the more reps and sets that you get, it just becomes a part of normal life. And then you're able to advance your knowledge, advance your qualifications, and then become an even higher expert. And then you're essentially advancing through the ranks and then becoming more of a management leadership performing in those types of roles.
And there's like a million different kinds of jobs too. So there's, if somebody's interested in the Navy, how do they get placed in the right path, so to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can get in contact with your local area recruiter. They'll have you take a test and then it'll essentially tell you the types of jobs that you're qualified for. And then you can also do your research, look at the jobs online. What is it that you want to do in the Navy? And that's what I would recommend to anyone who's interested in joining and trying to figure out what they want to do. Pretty much everything in the civilian world has an equivalent in the military and in the Navy. So if you want to be a welder, you can be a welder in the Navy. If you want to be a singer, you can be a singer in the Navy. It's really cool. It's like a choose your own adventure.
I like that. Amy, what do you take pride in your job? What's maybe challenging that you accomplish that you can brag about?
I've been OC sprayed, and I think that that's like crazy.
OC sprayed?
Yeah, like a pepper spray.
Yeah.
We had to do it to get our badge. I take a lot of pride in my badge because it was hard work to get here, and I did a lot of things and have overcome a lot that I didn't know that I could. So,
okay, so you wouldn't recommend the pepper spray then?
If you're on the receiving end, no. But if you're doing it to get the badge, it's a cool experience and a cool bragging rights.
Kevin, what's one of the fun things about your job?
I get to see how the Navy operates from the top level, and then I see how it affects the Navy in a whole. So being able to see the orders being given and being carried out, it's fun to be part of that policy-making process.
Well, we're going to come back after a break here and then talk more about your careers in the Navy, too, and your call to public service. I'm always interested in sometimes you kind of stumble into it. Other times you're just purposed. We're all across the state, but if you can get to Billings here this week, you're going to enjoy yourself. The Navy band, the brass band, and some ceremonial guard performances. I paid money to go watch the Navy band. I did. And they were just super, super good. You guys have a chance to catch it here at some of these events for Billings Navy Week. Welcome back from Montana for Montana. It's Voices of Montana. Tom Schultz alongside. We have sailors in studio here today. Lieutenant Winslow Blow, Navy Office of Community Outreach, Chief Petty Officer Calvin Mossman with Billings West graduate and with the U.S. Space Command currently. And then Petty Officer Master at Arms, it's Amy Hubble. A Columbus native with the USS Harry S. Truman. Again, thank you guys for your service. We're not just saying that because we're supposed to say it. I think people really genuinely know that there's sacrifice and families. It's not just the individual, it's the families as well. So I want to start off, we got to get more on Navy Week, Winslow. But I want to ask that question about that call to service, and I'll start with you. We'll just go down. There is a hierarchy, right? I know, Lieutenant. Why are you a Navy man?
Well, first, I just want to say I think it's weird that people have to salute me. I actually started out enlisted. I started as an aviation electrician, and then worked my way up to officer. But the reason that I started serving is that I do have a naval lineage in my family. And then I met my wife in college, and her dad is a retired naval flight officer. And when I met him, he was actually a preacher at a local church out in Texas. And so I was probably the most intimidated of my entire life whenever I met him, because my family is not necessarily pro-military, even though we do have the history. And so I got to meet him, I got to meet his family, and then I got to see all the amazing places that they got to live all over the world, and just like the amazing opportunity and how well the Navy had treated them over time. And my wife loved her time being a military brat, living in Italy and Japan and Hawaii and all these amazing
places. There's some perks, right?
Absolutely. There's perks. And I mean, that's not this shouldn't be the biggest reason why you join, sure. But it is a reason. I mean, there's job stability. There's career progression. There's, benefits for health care. And the Navy makes sure that you're taken care of at the end of the day. And, it can be very difficult, right? It can be very tough on someone's mental stability, sometimes even tests to your furthest extent. But at the end of the day, there's so many resources available. You have a family and a support team of sailors that can, pick you up. And always relying on my family, right? Always when I get home to my wife and my kids, it makes it all worth it.
Yeah. Calvin, your story, I mean, it goes back to actually a kind of a call to service, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So originally I joined for college. If not for the amazing faculty of Billings West High, I may not have made it out of high school, but one of my earliest memories in middle school, 2002, when we invaded Iraq for the reasons that we did, I remember that was a part of like, oh, what's going on here? And then I joined the Navy. I got to do my first deployment in Qatar, and I came back and I learned about this thing called an individual augmentee. It's when we send sailors to work with the Army or National Guard overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq. So I had the opportunity to go on one deployment and then immediately volunteer for another deployment. And I went to Basra, Iraq for counter rocket and mortar mission, which in the Navy, it's this weapon system called SeaWiz. It looks like R2-D2 from Star Wars with a giant Gatling gun on it, 17 rounds per second. Last time I checked.
That's got to be pretty cool.
It sounds like a Tyrannosaurus Rex from Jurassic Park when it goes off. Wow. You want to plug your ears. And it was incredible to go out there, not only just to go out there and defend the soldiers and the sailors and the SEALs that were on the base in Basra, but it was during Operation Iraqi Freedom Breaking Dawn. So this campaign started when I was in middle school, and I got to see it at 21 years old as we closed it down and left that mission. So that was an incredible part of my career. Most rewarding, the hardest. I wasn't administrating out there. I was hands-on operating that weapon system.
And Amy, your story too, and then I'm going to ask that question about, because when you sign on that line, you know that your life is not yours anymore. But you were inspired by family too.
Yes, my great-grandpa, Gerald Kirch, he served in World War II in the Pacific Theater in the Army.
I love that you mention him.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was an airplane mechanic, and so I wanted to join the Army and be a canine handler or corrections officer. Life had other plans and couldn't join the Army, so I went to the Navy recruiter. He said, Master at Arms, closest I got to corrections. And I said, I'll take it. I was enlisted a week later.
Why did you enlist? I mean, just how did your great-grandfather inspire you then to make this kind of sacrifice?
I love that man so much.
It takes you by surprise, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you think about the value of that relationship with him.
Yeah, I was always so proud of him. And like my heritage with the family ranch, I'm so proud of my family. And yeah. I just knew there was more to life than Columbus, Montana. And I always heard if you wanted to travel, the Navy was the way to go. So this was a blessing. And I've gotten to see so much of the world and meet so many people. And I'm very grateful for this opportunity.
Yeah. Calvin, how about you? Well, because it is a call to service. It's not just it's a lot of those things, but I think you can't escape the fact that I'm in the military and I'm serving my country and my countrymen. What was that moment like for you?
It was just like, I can't speak for Petty Officer Hubble, but when you graduate boot camp or when you finish your battle stations and they sing the song Proud to Be an American, I think that was like the first time it all came together, and I teared up right there, and I was probably bawling as they turned over that Navy recruit ball cap to a Navy ball cap. I don't have, I do have family that was in the military, but I feel like I'm building my family's legacy now. I have something that my son and my daughter, they're a part of. So one day, maybe if they want to serve, my dad was a chief or my dad was this and my dad was that. We got to see the world. I was born in Portugal. I got to go to school at a Portuguese school. I got to see Germany, all this stuff. So I'm building a legacy, and I'm glad that my family's a part of it, and I'm glad that I get to say that I'm from Billings, Montana, while I do it.
Winslow, your comments.
Oh, well, I mean, obviously, these sailors, you know, they have a really deep connection to their family and to service in the Navy, service for the military. And I completely agree. I think that when you meet someone in the military and you have someone like that in your life, it's really special, and you can really see the foundation and the character that being in the military builds, and the pride that you take in serving your country, and being able to raise your right hand and you know, say, pick me. I wanna be that person that's keeping our country safe. So it's a blessing.
I'm gonna we'll take this question here. Skip has been standing by, listening in Hamilton, a caller here on Voices of Montana, and he's gonna direct this question, I think, just to Amy. So, and Skip, you better watch out because she's wearing a badge. Okay.
I'm on, Tom. I think you said
yes. You're
thank
good.
Thank you very much, and thank you all for your service. So, as usual, Tom usually, if I have five questions in my mind, I could ask Tom, gets about four of them answered before I get to talk. So I wanted to tell you that all of the different jobs in the Navy that you all represent such a spectrum. And by the way, Tom was right. I paid to go see the Navy band too. Mm-hmm. On board an aircraft carrier, Amy, something I'm personally familiar with is an aircraft arresting system, which means anything with a tail hook on it has to grab. And my guess is that you have seen those in action. My question was going to be, on an aircraft carrier, are there other parts of our military other than Navy on board, such as not just Navy pilots, but Air Force pilots and Air Force personnel also on the deck? Could you describe that kind of thing? And then for one other quick question, if somebody can answer it, so everybody can learn about this. What's the difference between a non-commissioned and a commissioned officer? Thank you very much for your service. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Skip.
Thank you for your question. So, to my knowledge, I don't think we have any Air Force on board, but I do know we have some civilians. We always have an NCIS agent on board with us on the aircraft carrier. And then we have someone called Fit Boss and Fun Boss. And Fun Boss makes sure we get all these fun activities, so we'll be on the mess decks painting at night, doing little crafts, playing games, and Fit Boss makes sure that we're staying within physical fitness standards. He hosts fitness activities. They have the 1,000-pound club, 2,000-pound club. But like I said, to my knowledge, I'm not quite sure about other branches.
Yeah, so I'll just hop in real quick. This is Lieutenant Winslow Blow. So the Navy essentially has its own Air Force. We are the Naval Air Forces. And so in a sense, yes, we do have those personnel on board. A lot of the pilots are serving on board. They actually have surface roles where they're helping with the arresting and takeoff schedule. Boss or air boss is, you know, directing all the planes on the where everyone needs to park, where everyone is going to be taking off. And then the commanding officer is a Navy pilot. So, yeah, the Naval Air Forces are well represented, and a lot of people just don't think of it that way because everyone thinks that Top Gun is the Air Force and that they ride on our ships, but that is not the case.
and Officer Mossman, you actually embedded, or you guys call that an augmented program, right, with other branches of the service?
Yeah, absolutely, and we do have personnel exchange programs, not only just with other services but other countries. So I went in as an augmentee to a couple different National Guard units, so the Army, but they turned over once. So I was working with Ohio National Guard, and then when they turned over, I was working with the Texas National Guard. So different personalities for sure, but it was fun to bring Navy to their culture as well.
A correction and apology. It's Calvin Mosman. You're a very humble servant of our Navy. Thank you. I needed to correct that. So Chief Petty Officer Calvin Mosman. So Calvin, tell us, what's the difference between non-commissioned officers and commissioned officers for Skip's question?
Oh, yeah. When you enlist in the military, you're taking an oath of enlistment. So you're dedicating yourself to the Constitution of the United States of America and the officers appointed over you. Typically, you can have a degree, but typically you don't have a degree. You go in and you're doing really technical things. An officer, you're actually taking an oath of office, so you are still pledging to the Constitution of the United States of America, not necessarily to the person appointed over you, because you have to be able to challenge an office if it comes to that. So kind of the difference, the easy difference is degree, no degree, but that's not necessarily true either. And then sometimes you can become what we call a Mustang, is when you were prior enlisted and you cross that border into being an officer, but with your wild enlisted instincts, hence the Mustang.
It's called crossing over to the dark side.
There's probably a lot of things in military service that are called different things, because you got to have a sense of humor about stuff. Activities, okay? And then senior officers here. Who's here, and how can people access Navy Week in Billings?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got two senior executives coming to Billings Navy Week. So we have Assistant Secretary of the Navy, Benjamin Coleman, coming. He's actually on the ground today and tomorrow. And then we have Rear Admiral Matthew Case, who's the Acting Navy Surgeon General. And he is going to be on the ground Thursday through Saturday. You can actually find several events that they're going to be at on outreach.navy.mil. We've got a full schedule up. So you can come to our proclamation ceremony tomorrow at the Western Heritage Center at about 2:30, and you can come hear Secretary Coleman talk. And then if you want to just check out the schedule online, you can see our Navy band performances, ceremonial drill team, and a lot of other things going on as well.
Hit that address one more time.
Yeah, outreach.navy.mil. And then you can go to our social media pages, Navy Outreach. Just look up Navy Outreach, and you'll be able to see a lot of content on there.
Search Navy Week Billings, and you'll get a lot of stuff. Amy, what are you doing later on?
Today we're going over to, do you remember the park's name?
Optimus Park
to hang out with the kindergartners for YMCA, and then we'll be at a city council meeting tonight.
What do you do hanging out with kindergartners? That's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm not sure. I'm sure I'll probably get ran around and be in a lot of foot races, but be a good time.
And Calvin, you're going to be a part of that as well?
Yeah, I'm going to be part of that. We're going to be in our Navy PT uniform, so if they can read, it'll say Navy, and hopefully that impression stays in there, and we'll have a really good time so that they remember us, and then when they're 18 and they want to go to college, go to NROTC or enlist, that they'll be like, oh, I remember Chief Mosman. He was really fast.
And they won't get turned down by the Army the first time and then join the Navy. Yes. They'll just go straight to the source.
Yes.
What's your 10-second answer? Why join the Navy?
Yeah, because it's great. See the world. Don't just be stationed in one spot.
Good job, Amy.
You'll never experience anything else like it.
Winslow?
It's just a lot of fun and the adventure of a lifetime.
Michael Brennan in studio as well. Thank you for your service. Great job, you guys. Enjoy. Welcome home, okay? And have yourself a dang fun time while you're here, all right?
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.